Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So I'm delighted to say on the podcast today we're joined by Ben, and we're going to talk all about brand today and how important it is to get that right so you can attract and retain the right customers. So firstly, welcome to the video podcast, Ben.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
No worries at all. So do you want to just give everyone a little bit of an introduction to you and your business, and then we'll get into the subject matter.
Sure. So I'm Ben. I'm from Sublevo Creative. So I founded the business about 2.5 years ago now. And what we tend to do is we work with professional service providers, particularly those in the financial industry, to help them out with things like the branding and digital services as well. So the website as well. And that really feeds into the topic which I've chosen today, because that's essentially why we do it as well.
Absolutely, Ben. And I have to say, brand is, so when I started my business 3 years ago, it was one of those things, kind of, you know, on a very basic level, I've heard of brand and knew what it was. But I think it's one of the things I've learned the most about in terms of its importance. So I think I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. So probably a really, really good place to start is kind of, what is brand, and in a business sense, and kind of why is it important?
Yeah, so there's a common misconception, I think, in the world of business, that a lot of people think it's just your logo.
That's one of the questions I've got for later, Ben, actually, was, is brand just a logo? So you've answered one of them all day. Well done.
Well, there you go. But no, it's everything tangible and intangible within a business. So a lot of people think of it, as I say, as a logo, but it's a lot more than that. So the logo is literally just... the thing that you probably see most of. It's the sort of figurehead of your branding, but it goes down to things like what you put that onto. So it could be your letterhead, your business card, your email footers. It could be anything like that. But even if you've got a business, it could come down to the way that your receptionist greets someone at the door. It could be the way that you present yourself in a meeting. It's so much more than just sort of the visual side of things. It's also about sort of the environment that you create as a business as well.
No, that makes sense. And I, you know, one of the kind of best examples, I guess, someone once told me about this was McDonald's, and how, you know, you go to a McDonald's, and I'm sure everyone's experienced that at some point, where you go to one in the UK, or you go to one in Beijing, or you go to one in Thailand or Australia. They're all pretty much the same. There's a consistency there. And even if the word McDonald's or their logo wasn't there, you'd know you were in a McDonald's, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about creating that experience that every time someone deals with you, they know that you're dealing with McDonald's. It's about being memorable, and sort of they always say that people always remember how you make them feel, and that's essentially what branding is. It's making someone go away and have sort of a good reflection of you.
Absolutely. And I know, obviously, the example I brought there was a big brand, McDonald's, and that's a kind of a almost extreme example to an extent, because, you know, a lot of people watching or listening to this probably never going to quite get to the level of McDonald's. But, you know, one of the things I've heard a bit, and probably maybe I had the misconception at the start, was that brand is for McDonald's and Nike and all these type of things, but actually it is for everybody, isn't it? Do you want to kind of elaborate on that, and kind of why it's important for businesses of all sizes?
Yeah, so I think if you've got aspirations to grow, it's always a good thing to put yourself in that situation where you look or you always want to copy who you aspire to be, because there's a reason that they're doing it well and there's a reason that they're in the position they're in. So I think that branding yourself like a bigger business, that it doesn't really harm anyone. For example, if you look at my rebrand that I did, I moved from BB Graphic Design to Sublevo. And part of the reason for that was that I have the aspirations for the growth, but it was also about creating that experience for the people who I was working with. So Sublevo is basically, it's a Latin verb, so it means to uplift, to support and encourage, which that's the, when I was talking about an experience before, that's the experience which I want to create for people and go beyond just being sort of, you are just a designer.
Yeah.
It's, your branding is essentially what differentiates you, and it really pushes your sort of USPs, and it pushes what makes you different and makes people understand why they should choose you over any other option on the market.
It'd be interesting to know, actually, and we'll use your example there. You know, what and I obviously I know it's a relatively recent change, but what impact has that brand change had for you? And you know, this, you know, I could be asking you this about anybody who does this, but it'd be interesting to know your experience, obviously being within the world, but also doing it, what the benefits have been.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a lot more clarity on what it is we do. I made a big sort of effort to change all the wording as well, and all the type on the website, and on all the other sort of social medias, deliberately, because I felt that what we were talking about before was, it was very sort of, we do this, we do that, and I wanted it all to be about the value that we added. And I think that now people really understand what we can bring to them, rather than we're just another graphic designer, we're just another web designer, because you can find millions of them on the internet anyway. So I think firstly, it's given a lot more clarity, but I think it also allows us to go for a lot bigger jobs as well, because beforehand, where it was sort of BB Graphic Design, it sort of gives the impression it's just me and you're a one-man band, and you know, it's not the best branding for a branding person to have. So I think the fact that we've put that example there of, you know, strong branding for ourselves, that's probably the best advert you can give yourself as someone who does branding, because you need to be able to show people that you can do what you say you're going to do for them.
No, absolutely. And I guess the other question that comes from that is that there's probably a lot of people who maybe have set up their business with a certain name and certain branding when they first started, and that might have been just through what they thought they were going to be, or budgets or whatever. And I guess there's sometimes you probably come across these people who are a little bit worried to change, you know, especially a name change, which is obviously part of the branding. And obviously you've done that. You know, what would you kind of say to people who are maybe thinking, I'd like to change, but I'm a bit worried because, you know, my customers might not know who I am anymore. And, you know, we've done so much work.
You've got to build up to it. So I didn't just turn around one day and be like, right, I'm going to change everything. For months before it on social media, I was doing it to show my process. So I actually went through on LinkedIn and I did a post every week about going through the rebrand. So that actually familiarized people with the rebrand. Yeah. And then it became less of a shock when it was happening, for the fact that I'd already talked about it. I hadn't revealed the name or anything, or revealed what it looked like, but it became less of a shock. The thing I see most often is that a lot of people in the industries that I'm working with come to me and they might have named the business after the name, for example, because in a lot of businesses, people come from a corporate industry and then go and set up on their own, and to gain that recognition, they want to keep the name involved with the business. And I think that is okay to an extent, but there becomes a point where you need to think about your long-term goals for the business. So you need to start thinking about, who do you aspire working with? And also, if you want to sell your business as well, you don't want a brand to revolve solely around you, because, you know, once you sell it, or well, if you can sell it with a name based around you, you're no longer part of it. So you want to build up something that has strong branding, because it makes, if someone's coming to buy your business, it makes it less risky for them, because it's perceived as something which they can come in and buy and they can make money from an awful lot quicker.
Yeah, I know it's one thing, and you know, I've spoken to business coaches before, and various other people who have kind of, one of their things is they do is
get businesses in a position to sell. And it's interesting you say that. One of the things they often talk, I've heard about, is brand value, essentially, and what that means. And there's probably not millions of examples, is there, of businesses that are essentially the bear in the name of someone that have gone on to be sold. David Lloyd Jones is probably one of the ones I can think of. I can't think of any others. Yeah. But then there's also examples of businesses who have a real strong brand the Virgin brands are a great example of that. There's loads of them out there people know, but most of them are not owned by Richard Branson. They've just got a really strong brand, and that's the attraction of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the brands like that, they use franchise models, don't they? So it's quite, you need to really have a strong brand to be able to franchise something, because as you mentioned before, with McDonald's, they're all franchises. And to be able to essentially give someone a new version of your business and let them set it up, it needs to have really strong branding, because it needs to be in place how you set up that business, how it looks, how it feels, etc., so that you create basically the same template. Because that's something as well with a lot of people's brands, is that a lot of it is in their head, and a lot of it is, you know, it's okay when you've just got yourself and you just sort of, that's how you speak to people, that's how you do things and run things. But when you expand that and you get someone working for you, for example, getting them to be able to translate what's in your head is a completely different thing.
I want to go back to actually, you made a really good, I thought really good point, interesting point about when you were kind of developing your new brand, how you essentially, you've taken your potential and current customers along for the ride with you, and you've kind of got them invested. And most, I think that's not just a brand thing, that's a really important business tool. So, you know, it'd be interesting to know how the benefit you found that, because getting, you know, you see a lot, don't you, people putting things, I mean, we'll go back to the logo thing, putting four example logos on LinkedIn and getting people to choose which one they think's the best. And that is getting people invested, isn't it? It's already getting them involved in you.
Yeah. I think that was the thing that I looked at when I decided to do it. I put all these votes on and things like that, and ultimately they weren't going to shape my decision, because, you know, that's not what it is. But I think something else which is interesting, which I haven't mentioned, is when I did the rebrand, I picked up, because the reason I wanted to do the financial and professional services niche was because I'd started to develop some clients in that industry already. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I used those clients and I used other people from within my network, and I interviewed them about the rebrand, and I showed them a services brochure. I showed them what the rebrand was. I showed them all these different things and asked them lots of questions. But I deliberately picked people who I knew, if they disagreed with it, they would give me some form of resistance to it. And I think that meant that not only did they then feel like they'd been a part of what had happened, and they felt like they were a part of that change, it also meant that they were always looking out for the next bit, and they were curious as to what was going to be going on. So I think that making your customers and making sort of your potential customers as well, when I did those interviews, feel a part of something and feel like they're valued and their opinion matters is quite important, because they're going to go away from that and they're going to think, this guy values my opinion, he's helped out, he's been thorough with his own research for his rebrand. If I get him to do similar, he'll do go to the same lengths for me.
Absolutely. And it comes back to as well, doesn't it, the, you know, part of the title of this discussion is attract and retain the right customers. So it'd be interesting, you know, kind of, I guess, kind of going back to your process, how you decided that who the right customers were and how important that is when you're looking at your brand, you know, because maybe I kind of use the examples I've used before. For business, when you first start, you generally you're quite generalist in it. And that's, I think that's okay, because you don't quite know where you're going to go yet. But I guess that's where things like rebrands come in and finding the right customers. So how important is to know who your customers or who you want them to be is to building your brand?
I think it's crucial. I think at first, as you say, you do need to sort of be a generalist. I'd say you don't want to niche down too early, because what you think you want to work with maybe isn't what you want to work with once you actually start working with them. But I think you naturally come to find a niche or an area which you work more in, purely because you start to see the value that you're creating in that industry, and you start to see that you're maybe having a larger impact. In, for example, when I was looking at the financial industry, I was sort of seeing these businesses who they always play it like very safe, and it's sort of very traditional, and it's not something which they particularly value, because it's completely opposite ends of the spectrum. So when I was able to go in and people sort of did give me some creative freedom, it meant that I was able to make bigger changes that could then make more of an impact on their business. But actually finding that niche, I'd say one of the most common things that I see, like mistakes I see, is that people often make the branding because they like it, or they make it because, well, for some meaning or reason. But for example, if you take the World Cups on at the moment, if you take, say there was a Portuguese fan and he's making this product and he's trying to sell it to English fans. If he made this product and it's in Portuguese colours and he's trying to sell it to all the English fans, they're not going to buy it. Whereas even though he might not be in the English fans sort of community, he then has to make it appeal to them. Mm-hmm. So I think that is one of the biggest mistakes that people make. And I think it's something that people need to understand. Sort of, you need to create an avatar around who you're speaking to and want to speak to. So you need to think about not just like who they are, what they like visually. You need to think about sort of where do they hang out, what do they read, who do they speak to. And then that means that when you're actually looking at putting that branding in the right places, you advertise and promote business in the right places as well.
Yeah, I guess it's things like, you know, you've used obviously financial services, you know, it's a background I have. And I think in financial services, it's often about kind of making people feel safe and secure and comfortable with what you do. And now I'll use the example of my business in Northern Affinity, and it's more about people feeling happy and outgoing. And so whilst there is obviously some crossovers, I guess, with anything, but there is a slight difference, isn't there? And that's where I guess that's where someone like yourself come in to kind of guide people along. Again, that's thinking about essentially what are you offering and who you're offering it to.
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously with, for example, the Northern Affinity, you're trying to attract a range of businesses, and you're trying to create an environment that's welcoming and makes people want to sort of collaborate and be there and work with each other. Whereas, for example, when you're talking about a financial advisor, they might be working with individuals and they're working solely with the individuals, and it's often a private matter because you're talking about someone's finances. So the complete sort of traits that they want there, they still want to be welcome and they want to be approachable, but at the same time they don't want to create that community sense which you want to create.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look over my shoulder and look at the banners I've got behind me, mm-hmm. there's, you know, the reason why the images we use there is because, you know, people are smiling and happy and having a good time, which is fine, and that works because that suits what we're trying to achieve, and that's all part of the branding, isn't it? Like I said right at the start of this, that's kind of part of the things I've learned a lot in the last few years about that, and how much those little almost quite subtle things matter.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned there something which I forgot to mention at the start is imagery. It's like being consistent with your imagery, and if you want to create something that, as you mentioned there, it's like this happy environment, you can't then go and use all this sort of dull, dreary imagery. It's got to be like bright, and everything that you put out has got to be consistent with that. Because you want people to look at it, and you want it to have that brand recognition, essentially. So I think photos and video they've got to be really consistent in the style that you want to create, and you've got to understand as well what the goal of it is as well. So I think you've always got to think about the purpose as well. And so obviously, as you've mentioned there, you want to create a sort of happy environment which people want to join and be a part of. And I think by using those bright and airy pictures, you know, people want to get involved with it.
Absolutely. So, and obviously we've talked a lot about kind of, I guess, the reasoning why and why it's important. So if you know, following this conversation, someone's now thinking, look, I need to upgrade whatever it is, my brand, or someone who's just starting, I want to get this right. You know, obviously they can come to someone like yourself and talk about that. But if they were maybe just to, before they did that, what kind of few things should they be thinking about, maybe writing down, kind of first steps, if you like, to get them on that journey to kind of get to the place they want to?
I think the main thing you've got to find out is why do you want to make that change? So you've got to look at what you've got existing. And you've got to be really analytical of it, and you've got to think, well, why don't I like this? What do I want to change? Because deep down, if you know you want to change it, there's obviously some sort of reason for it. And, you know, you can ignore that for as long as you want, but it will catch up with you eventually and you will have to take some action on it. But I'd say the main thing is if you don't like, you want to know what you want to be known for. So you want to think about how you want to make people feel, how you want to be sort of perceived from an outside perspective. And you need to think about alignment. So you need to think about, are these things actually being symbolized in what I've currently got? Because I do similar workshops. So I do brand workshops where you do all these things and you look into sort of the psychology of the branding. And it's quite interesting that a lot of the time what people think they are perceived as is more what they want to be perceived as. And when they sit down and have a look at it, it might not be the same thing.
Absolutely. And I guess if someone, again, before they even came to maybe someone like yourself, what kind of thing that, you know, if you're building a brand strategy, we said right at the start, no, brand's not a logo. It's not just the visual, the logo or the pictures or anything like that. There's a lot of elements to go into it. So what kind of probably useful to maybe just kind of the headlines, what would go into about brand strategy. Well, so we've talked about a few things, which is like the written content, the visual content, the way you make people feel. It's kind of a few headlines that people can maybe start thinking about when it comes to their brand, when the things they can do to improve and upgrade.
Yeah, so I think one of the main things, I mean, it's quite easy to find this out, is colours. So I always think that colours are probably have a bigger impact than a lot of people think. And do a quick Google search, you can find out quite easily what sort of the perceptions of different colours are. So I do a lot of focus around sort of colour psychology and things like that. I also think one of the main things as well you've got to consider is when you're looking at your branding, do you have something which is recognisable? Like, do you have sort of an icon that you can put on everything? And you need to also think about, are you consistent with it? So when people are coming to you, what sort of, when you're onboarding someone, what sort of experience are they getting from that? Are they getting sort of the welcome packs? Are they getting the sort of letterheads? Are they getting that consistent experience throughout? Or is everyone just getting sort of what you can be bothered to make on that day? So I'd say that's mainly one of the things I think about, is the consistency of what you're currently doing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned colours there. So obviously for the people who are watching this as a video, we'll see that we've got this kind of writing across the bottom. It's got this kind of mustardy yellowy color around it. The reason I use that, this is one of our brand colors. I use it on this video because it's also all our social media icons are in this color. And I know that this recording, the vast majority of people who will see it will probably see it on some sort of social media platform. So it's creating a consistency across those, that this kind of mustardy yellow is our social media color, if you like, and we get it there. Obviously we do, you can, the other colors, again, for the people on video can see that behind me, the reds and the blues, but the yellow is, that is the one we use, and it comes across in trying to pretty much everything we do on that stage. So again, something I've learned, it's a relatively subtle thing that probably most people won't realize it's there, but I do believe it has an impact.
Yeah, it's all about trying to tap into people's subconscious. Because a lot of the time, people don't realize that they're associating these things with you, or that they're sort of that's what they're clocking onto. But if they've got an interest in Northern Affinity and they're seeing that they're scrolling through the feed, you can scroll through your feed. I mean, you look at it now and the attention spans are shorter than ever because of things like TikTok, etc. But if you scroll through your feed and you see that yellow, you're more likely to stop if you've got some sort of interest in Northern Affinity. You're going to stop and you're more likely to see the post regularly.
Yeah. Like I said, we have a, you touched on there, we've got our normal kind of logo, but we've got a one that we use on social media, which is essentially abbreviation of the one there. And, you know, that's something, and it's, again, that consistency. Yeah, we've used that word a lot. And I think whilst we've not talked about consistency directly, I think it's so important, isn't it, to get those things right. And it's, it takes a little bit of thinking to start with, but once you get going with it, it become, for me now, almost a second nature. I'm not a brand expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it does become almost second nature now.
Yeah, it's, I'd say a lot of it is about creating habits and creating easy ways to replicate those habits. So I think a lot of the time when you work with someone who does branding, they'll obviously create templates for you to do these things, and they'll give you all the color codes so you get exactly the right colors right and everything. So I think the reason a lot of people don't have consistent branding is because it's hard for them to replicate what they've previously done. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why branding's an investment, because it makes you future posts and it makes everything you put out a lot quicker and a lot easier, because you're not having to sort of recreate something from scratch every time. You've got this sort of standard template and you just sort of fill in the text, or you fill in whatever it might be.
Absolutely. So final question for me, and it's a bit of a how long is a piece of string question, so apologies about that, is, you know, for people, whether it's rebranding or refreshing their brand, how often do you think, and again, I know it's, there's no perfect answer to this, but how often should people be looking at it at least?
I mean, the actual average length, well, lifespan of a brand is 14 years.
Okay.
Which obviously is not the answer I want to give as a branding person. But that's about sort of a complete fresh rebrand.
Yeah.
I'd say I tend to look at mine yearly. So I look at, because a lot can happen in the space of a year, a lot of things can change. And I'd say review at least the traits that you've got, and review, for example, if you grow your business within that year, look at maybe how consistent you are, look at how easy it is for example, your employees to be able to replicate that. So I'd say a year. You don't want to review it all the time, because you need to create that consistency. And I'd say the other thing is, don't create like drastic changes every year either, because you need to build up that consistency. But you do need to make sort of minor changes. Everyone's branding sort of a work in progress, and you're constantly amending minor things, but you don't want to do like a drastic rebrand every year.
No, so it's more of a refresh, I guess, than anything else, just keeping it, like you mentioned, other things like templates. You might have templates that you put your social media posts out, just every year kind of, you know, just having a look at them and just kind of, like I said, refreshing them, slightly altering them, refining them to be, because things change, things get things, yeah, be business changes, just keeping up to that, I guess, is the key.
Yeah, I think that's another thing, is as much as I'm saying sort of consistency, there comes a point where if you post in the same template every single day, people are going to get bored of it, and you need to get something new, you need to get something exciting. So just refresh it every so often, just so it keeps people engaged. Otherwise, they'll just sort of switch off and go past it, really.
Absolutely. Well, no, that's great. And I think it gives a lot. It's got me a few things to think about, and I'm sure lots of people as well. So appreciate it, Ben. If anyone wants to find out a little bit more about you and what you do, now I'll put all the details in the show notes, but where's the best places to go?
So the main point of call is our website, which is www.sublevocreative.co.uk. And then other than that, I post a lot on LinkedIn. So if you want to connect on me, LinkedIn, it's Ben Bowden. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram as well. And it's just Sublevo Creative, all as one word.
Thank you, Ben. And listen, we'll put all the details in the notes, both on the video and the podcast. But Yeah, just finally, thank you so much for your time. You know, there's a lot to digest there for a lot of people, and I'm sure that it really, really helps. So thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.